why wasn't these programs enacted? Is it that now Mr. Golding can only see because he's not in government? What happened while he was in government? Why has the situation continued to deteriorate? Surely Mr. Golding, as minister, former Minister of Justice, must have seen this and could have done something about these social issues. One of the things I wanted to just briefly touch on, though, is this whole continued notion that socioeconomic conditions are necessarily fuel to crime. I mean, it's easy to suggest that when we have poverty, necessarily the spin-off of poverty is crime. Some of the poorest countries in the world are the least violent countries. Cuba is only 90 miles away. Cuba has approximately 11 million people, and they don't have half the homicide figures we have. Rapes are at a violent crimes. We could trek over to the continent of Asia. The same is true for Vietnam, Indonesia, Malaysia, Myanmar. None of these countries' citizens kill other citizens with the same frequency, the same alacrity, and with the same brutality as we kill each other here in Jamaica. So I beg to differ that the root cause of crime is necessarily poverty. I'm not in any way, shape, or form suggesting that poverty may not have something to do with crime or have a negative impact on crime. But I don't think that it's the totality of it. I think it's only a small part of it. If wealth or people having jobs were the answer, then rich, powerful nations would hardly have any crime now, would they? People do commit crime regardless of their financial standings in life. One of the great deterrent to that is that we have tough laws that punish criminals. When people make a decision to commit crimes, there must be laws. Jamaica doesn't have that. That's the problem. And we have an acquiescent system. And this system is a system that has been created and maintained by both political parties, has been complicit in the system of acquiescence and in some cases active participation in the promulgation and the proliferation of criminal activity. And in this regard, hardly any other functionaries in both political parties have clean hands. When they consider legislation that are supposedly geared at curbing crime, the primacy of their consideration seem to be the rights of accused criminals. How about we start off with the rights of the aggrieved parties? How about we start off with the rights of people to live their lives and be secure in their persons before we start talking about criminal rights and lumping criminal rights with human rights. They're not the same. What we in Jamaica have done is hug up criminals and allow criminal lobbyists to determine how our laws are configured, how they're enforced, and how criminals are sentenced and treated. The first order of business has got to be strong legislation, strong laws, effective policing, and then we iron out the details as regards criminal rights. We cannot front-end load criminal rights while criminals continue to kill innocent people with no end in sight. This whole misguided notion that somehow all of our the crimes being committed are being committed because of poverty or because of insufficient resources in the hands of people is absolute cockamamie. But it's an easy out, because we can always say, well, it's going to be a difficult task to harness poverty. And as long as we don't have harness poverty, we're going to have crime. It's bull and they know it, but it offers them an out. No, we can fix crime. We can make people respect the rule of law. And we can do it simultaneously with implementing social programs and fixing our economy. One of the greatest problems, one of the greatest impediments to the country's growth and development is crime. So we're not going to have prosperity or growth with the crime figures we have. It's just not going to happen. Because one of the greatest deterrents to our economic development is the fact that there's just too many crimes and investors are not going to come. And Jamaicans living abroad who would like to return are not going to return. It's just not happening. It's kind of a catch-22, and it has to be fixed. But we can't necessarily, since we can't necessarily fix the socioeconomic problems with high crime, we have to fix the high crime, and then we work on socioeconomic conditions. But everybody want to be a civil rights activist in Jamaica. Everybody want to be a human rights activist in Jamaica. Nobody want to enforce the law. Nobody want tough laws, because Jamaica is supposed to be this freewheeling place where you do whatever you want. And that's what's happening. Nobody wants to bell the cat, because it's supposed to be this place where everybody does whatever. Well, we're in the 21st century and it's just not feasible anymore. Can't do it. And if we think we have problem right now, wait. If we think we have problems right now, just wait. Because crime is something that metastasizes wherever there is fertile soil for it to grow. And Jamaica is indeed fertile soil. We have weak government, an incompetent security apparatus, and we have an acquiescent culture. That's not going to change anytime soon unless some people really step up and say enough. I don't know how that's going to happen, because what we need is an entire change of mindset before we can even begin the process. So I dare say that it's not going to change overnight. And while we're talking about these two American citizens were murdered, just recently murdered for nothing. Just murdered because they dared to travel to Jamaica. Murdered. Does it mean their lives are more important than anybody else's? No. But once upon a time, no, Jamaicans wouldn't kill visitors. Now, they don't matter. They don't care. They kill whoever. They don't care. It's just about killing. this unrelenting killing simply because they can. And simply because the society allows it. So when we throw up our hands and pretend like we can't do something about it, yes, we can do something about it. And we used to do something about it. We used to treat criminals like criminals. And you know what? It was a safer Jamaica. So I suggest Mr. Golding and Mr. Montague sit down and come up with some ideas on how to fix this problem, because it's not going to fix itself. Telling criminals we're not going to hang him is not going to solve any problems. It's not going to solve the problem. Neither will instituting hanging change the paradigm anytime soon. Process of hanging them won't change the paradigm, because it's not a process that happens with the frequency and the speed and the certainty, because this system, this criminal justice system, is not set up to be that precise. And even with the most precise system, no system is foolproof. That's why a tough law enforcement person like myself is sitting on the fence on this issue. We'll talk again.